Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, Yazidis in the Iraqi city of Mosul face an uncertain future, and why women's voices must be heard in disaster response efforts such as those currently underway in Haiti. But first, the rights of women and girls to enjoy full equality, living in safe and sustainable cities, are guaranteed under the new urban agenda adopted at the UN's Habitat 3 conference. That's according to the Deputy Executive Director of UN Women, Lakshmi Puri, who has been attending the Global Summit in Quito, Ecuador, designed to rethink how we live in towns and cities. She said governments around the world now needed to follow through on the promises made to implement the new urban agenda on behalf of women alongside the Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs. Matthew Wells asked her how important cities were to the UN's gender equality mission.
Cities must be a theater for the realization of gender equality and women's rights and women and girls' empowerment. Through this conference, we want to spread the message that all cities should join the movement for safe, sustainable, inclusive and equitable cities for women and girls. The other major agenda we have is that the Gender Equality Compact that was adopted as part of Agenda 2030 last year.
The Sustainable Development Goals.
The Sustainable Development Goals. That compact includes Sustainable Development Goal 5 on achieving gender equality, not just promoting, and empowering all women and girls. So we want that goal to be realized in the cities.
So what about this new urban agenda, which is what's emerged from this conference?
That compact and SDG 5 has been transposed and integrated into the new urban agenda outcome. The Quito Declaration and the new urban agenda strongly emphasizes that women and girls' rights must be promoted in the city, that their entitlement to a safe and secure environment as well as their right to public space in the context of whether it is education, work, leisure, all of that is guaranteed. And that women's leadership in everything to do with urban development, planning, provision of public services must be also equally led by women.
As ever, it's all going to be about the implementation now, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
Cities are such diverse places. They've got such different cultural influences, different cultural mores.
Yes.
Do you think that this can be successfully implemented for the benefit of the human rights of women?
Absolutely. It can be and it must be. Because governments here made commitments on the Gender Equality Compact and pledged to achieve this within 15 years. 1 year has already passed. But now, mayors and local government authorities and urban development ministers are meeting here and they are pledging.
Ethnic and religious minorities in Iraq, such as the Yazidi community, face an uncertain future with the ongoing liberation of Mosul, a women's rights activist has warned. Amina Saeed Hassan, a Yazidi from Sinjar in northern Iraq, spoke at the UN's headquarters about the persecution of her people by the terrorist group ISIL, also known as ISIS. Many women and girls from the minority group remain in ISIS captivity, where they are subjected to unimaginable horrors, a UN human rights panel recently found. Priyanka Shankar has been speaking to Mrs. Hassan and to the Iraqi ambassador to the UN about this situation.
The situation, it is very, very difficult because there's about 400,000 Yazidi displaced. For 2 years, they live in the camps without any services. There's now more than 3,000 Yazidi captive. They still in the hands of ISIS, and every day they raped. And in general, even the part of Sinjar, Yazidi homeland, part of it had been liberated more than 1 year, but till now there is no services. The people couldn't come back, and because they lost the trust, and they afraid about the future, how it will be.
As a woman yourself, you've helped so many of these young girls. How does it make you feel listening to their stories?
Sometimes I couldn't sleep because there is many stories. Some of the women, the ISIS killed them, children who just have 1 year or 2 years, just because they crying in them, and they take the girl who in 7 years or in 8 years and rape them and take them to Syria or to another way. That is very difficult when a boy just in 8 years and ISIS put them in training and he will be suiciding bomb with his relatives. That is very, very difficult as a mother. I couldn't imagine when the ISIS separate the children from their mothers. That is the worst thing in the world.
What do you think world bodies can do? Because so many girls have also committed suicide in Sinjar after being raped and being treated this way by the ISIS.
It's very difficult, especially for us, because many people in Mosul, in our neighbor, they join ISIS. So after liberation, how we can live together again?
With the ongoing campaign to liberate Mosul from ISIS rule, the fate of the Yazidis and other ethnic groups in the region remains uncertain. Muhammad Ali Al-Hakim, the permanent representative of Iraq to the UN, thinks this is an issue which is harder than liberating the city.
This is really important question, is that the aftermath of the liberation of the city of Mosul. We need to get the community to go back together. We need to get back the Christians, the Yazidis and the Turkmen and the Shia and the Sunnis to get together. This is an issue that is really harder than liberating a city.
Following the 2010 earthquake in Haiti, some girls living in displacement camps resorted to trading sex in order to meet their basic needs. This is one example of how natural disasters have a disproportionate effect on women, according to the UN's gender entity, UN Women. As Haiti emerges from the wreckage of Hurricane Matthew, which hit earlier this month, the agency is working to make sure women's voices are included in the response. I asked UN Women representative in Haiti, Anthony Ngororano, why he says natural disasters and other crises are not gender neutral.
Crises disproportionately affect women more than men. Women die in greater numbers in natural disasters, and in many cases, this number is quite significant. So just to give the example of the Bangladesh cyclone, we were able to assess and verify that up to 5 times more women died as men. And so this lends a number of questions, one being, you know, what is it about natural disasters that fuels such numbers? These numbers are obviously not just important, but they suggest a pattern. And in trying to understand essentially this pattern, what is clear is that issues relating both to access, let's say, infrastructures is unequal.
Let's talk about the 2010 earthquake. What particular effects did we learn that this had on women in the country?
The effects were multiple. We found, for example, that girls in displacement camps engaged in transactional sex, obviously as a result of, amongst other things, increased vulnerability during these periods. We find in terms of natural disasters and their effects on women and girls, these essentially intensify existing social norms that essentially perpetuate discrimination.
You recently visited Jeremy, which is one of the hardest hit areas due to the hurricane. I think you met with displaced women there. What did they tell you?
Displaced women indicated very clearly that they were not at the time that we were receiving food in the quantities they needed. So we had a number of them reporting that they were receiving wheat instead of rice. Feeding children was made difficult because wheat is more difficult to prepare. They also indicated that they needed a channel through which their voices could be heard.
How can Haiti's government and the United Nations ensure that women's voices are heard?
There are a number of measures. Already strengthening existing machinery is one of our priorities. In doing this, we are working with Haiti's equivalent of Ministry of Gender to ensure that planning structures that bring women to the table are in place. Specifically, we are looking and working with the ministry to ensure that collection of sex disaggregated data is conducted in a manner that is structured, systematic, and effective. We are also working with women's organizations to ensure that they have an input into the response and that they are able to provide us also with, where possible, real-time information with regards to issues such as where assistance is reaching and anything related to this.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn. We'll be right back.